All right, take your Bible this morning and turn to Matthew 24:13. Matthew 24:13. The Bible says, that he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, the context, go back to chapter 24, verse 3, and it says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? He's talking about something at the end of the world. And the reason he said this right here is because it says, what shall these things be? We look at verse 2. It says, Jesus said to them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And it goes on through there. And if you look down there, we're talking about the tribulation period. And while you're in Matthew 24, look at the verse 14. Says, the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom not being preached now. The gospel of the grace of God is. It says, look here, wherefore you see the abomination of desolation. We're not going to see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. That's whenever the Antichrist comes in, sets down in the Holy of Holies. So he'll be gone. The rapture's going to take place before then. So this is talking about during the tribulation period. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. One more place, in case you're not convinced yet, look at Revelation 2:26. It says, for he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Revelation 2:26 says, and he that overcometh, it's during the tribulation here, it's telling about it, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to them will I give power over nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. It's got to be the end of the tribulation. There's no question about it. If you got a question about it, it's because you're crooked and you don't believe what the book says in the context of what it's talking about. My text again, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach this message. I pray, Father, that you bless it. I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit of God bear witness with your word. I pray it wouldn't return void, but it would establish that which you please. I pray, Father, that you fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Help me say the right things at the right time, Lord. No, I can't do anything without thee, and I'm trusting completely on thee. Leaning on thee, Lord, to help me and help me to say what you want me to say. I pray now, Father, this message be a blessing to those that hear it, no matter where it is. And you'd edify them and help them through it in some way or another and help them get straightened out in whatever heresy they're connected with. And we just thank you and praise you for what you're going to do with this message. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. First of all, now I'm not talking... The name of this message is How to Lose Your Salvation. Now I'm going to give you five things of how you can lose your salvation here before we're through, if you could lose it. So, now I'm not talking to people that seen them... I'm not talking to people that... think that good works or something like that God is going to get them into heaven. And I'm talking to people that see themselves a lost sinner going to hell and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ completely as their Savior. Your good works or baptism or a little old name on a church roll or any other thousand things that you can think salvation is not going to help you. I'm talking to people depending completely on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, without works. That's biblical salvation. Now, with that out of the way, most every person, thinks they lose their salvation. They'll use this text to show that a person can be saved and then lose it if you don't, some way or another, endure to the end of your life. And that's every Church of God, Methodist, Episcopalian, Free Will Baptist, Pentecostal, Lutheran, Nazarene, or hundreds of other churches nowadays. But our text doesn't say that. The context of the verse is the tribulation. And a person left here after the rapture can definitely lose their salvation. Now, if you could lose your salvation, you'd have to do the following five things. That is, in order to lose your salvation, you're going to have to lose, return, reverse all the things that's connected, that's included in our salvation. All right, look at John. First of all, let's look at John 3. John chapter 3. And we'll look at the first way that you can lose your salvation, which is you have to abort yourself from the new birth. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," that's your first birth, "and of the Spirit," that's the second birth, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh," that's your first birth, "and that which is born of the Spirit," that's your second birth. See? "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Now, if you look at the context, I know a lot of fundamentalists and everybody teaches, you know, that that's somehow or another the Word of God, that water is the Word of God, but that's not what it says. It says water. And it's not baptism. It can't be baptism. It's got to be the context to tell you what it is. It's talking about his mother's womb. See in verse 4, his mother's womb and be born. And except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So that's two different things. The whole context is telling you that your first birth and your second birth. So, now, with that said, I just don't see any way you can be unborn. I mean, once you're born, you're born. And you breathe and you're here and you're living. And I know they some can be stillborn and so forth like that, but that's not the same thing. They're dead in the womb. But you, you know, you didn't have anything to do with your first birth, so how can you be unborn? Even your mother and father can't undo what was done. So it's the same thing with salvation. When you were saved, all you did was receive the gift of God by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ of the Scriptures. When you was physically born, the doctor slapped you on the butt and you yelled and breathed. That is, unless you was like that fellow I heard about, he's so ugly when he was born, the doctor took one look at him and slapped his mother. You can laugh. I mean, this, you know, go ahead and laugh. It's all right. It's all right. Don't be serious. You ain't going to get out of this life alive anyway unless the rapture takes place. All right. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's get the second one. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. And this next way that you can lose your salvation is you have to unseal your soul. That is, you've got to return the Holy Spirit or take him to hell with you, one or the other. The Holy Spirit's the one that does the work in you. Ephesians 1, look at verse 12. "That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted," Jesus Christ, "after that ye heard the word of truth." Somebody preached to you, or you heard the word of somehow there, you read a tract or whatever. "The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." The Holy Spirit is one that does it, see? "Which is the earnest of our inheritance." Now, the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now notice here, in these verses, you heard the word of truth, you believed or trusted in Christ, then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that sealing is the earnest. Now, earnest money is something like a down payment for something. So the down payment was the sealing of the Holy Spirit. You were saved at that particular time. the Holy Spirit sealed your soul unto the purchased possession. Now, when's that? That's at the rapture. This body right here is not saved yet. We won't be saved until we get a glorified body. So, now how are you going to unseal your soul? I mean, you didn't seal it. God the Holy Spirit did. Somebody out there said, well, suppose you do something wrong, then God will unseal it. No, didn't say that. The Bible says, if you're a Bible believer, the Bible says that the Spirit seal is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So we're sealed until our body's redeemed. And once we're redeemed, we can't sin no more. The Bible says in John 12, turn to John 12 for the next one. John chapter 12. And you get that in one hand and Galatians 4, 5 in the other. John 12. Alright, the next thing about the way you can lose your salvation, you have to divorce yourself from the family of God. You'd have to divorce yourself from the family of God. John 1:12 says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Alright, Galatians 4:5 says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Somebody out there said, now I got you. I heard about a boy divorcing his parents down in Florida. That it won't work. I don't care what my boy's done. He's still his father and mother's son. And my son will always be my son. My daughter will always be my daughter. We're talking about sons of God. So the illustration here is he can cuss me out. He can move to another country. He can change his name. He can do anything he wants to do. But he's my son no matter what he does. I can't do nothing about it. He can't do nothing about it. It's the same with your Heavenly Father. If you're saved, He will get you home. Now, it might be the hard way, but He'll get you there. Over in 1 Corinthians 11:30, it says, For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep because of sin. These folks, they had all kind of trouble in Corinthian church there. Some were sick, some died. But God didn't say they lost it and went to hell. So why do you, some of you folks want to believe that you can lose your salvation? You want me to tell you why? Because you're a self-righteous hypocrite. You want a part in your own salvation. That's the reason most people think they can lose their salvation, and they want to look good and live right and outwardly and not think about all the different sins they've committed that they don't never confess. That's the reason most of these charismaniacs out there in the world today is sick and going in Norton Lowell and everything else because they stay sick at the time because of sin. All right. get Romans 2. Romans 2, 28 and 29 in one hand and Colossians 2, 11 and 12 in the other. This is number 4. And these verses show you something here that you're going to have to uncircumcise your heart. In other words, you're going to have to reattach your soul to your flesh. You have to uncircumcise your heart or reattach your soul and flesh. Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Now notice that. It's a circumcision inside is happening here. So something happens inside. It's like the Old Testament Jew was circumcised in the flesh, and you're circumcised inwardly once you saved. Colossians chapter 2 now. In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the operation, it's an operation that takes place, of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Now, according to the above verses, when you say God, the Holy Spirit, cut loose your soul from your body so that the Holy Spirit can dwell in you. Now, the sins you commit is applied to your flesh, not your soul. So, actually, technically, the real you is sinless. And that's the reason you can't lose your salvation. No way. And like the one before is the point before was that your soul was sealed in the day of redemption, so you're saved and you're going to heaven. Like I said before, you might go hurting and all kind of things happen to you, but you're going. Well, somebody says, now what if you sin one time? Because the Bible says in Revelation 21:27, says, thou shalt in no wise enter into it, talking about heaven, anything that defileth. James 2:10 says, whosoever is guilty, whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. So how many sins would it take to lose salvation? One. So no one here can live sinless. That is, unless his body is sinned and not his soul. See? If you think you're living sinless, you need to get in the Bible and read a while. You'll see some things. If you think you're good enough to go through life without sin, I got something for you. Here's some Bible definitions of sin. That's not what I'm telling you. It's what this book says. Don't take my opinion for nothing. Look at the book. Right here it says. This is Bible definitions. 1 John 5:17 says, all unrighteousness is sin. That's a definition. All unrighteousness. Anything you do that's not right, sin. All lawlessness. 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is, definition, the transgression of the law. You ever transgressed the law? Number three, whatsoever is not of faith, that'll be sin. Romans 14:23, and he that doubteth is damned to feet because he is not in faith. For whatsoever is not of faith, definition, is sin. I didn't say that. God said that, see, in His book. If you believe His book, you're a sinner. Where are those sins going? I ain't through yet. We'll just keep on. The next thing is Proverbs 24:9. The thought of foolishness is sin. Definition. You ever had a foolish thought? Number five, a high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs 21:4. Every one of you got a proud heart. Number six, failing the good to do good. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's the definition. The next one. And this one right here is the only one that's going to keep you out of hell. It's unbelief. John 16:9 says, of sin because they believe not on me. Of course, that's Jesus Christ talking. That's the sin of unbelief. You commit that one, you're not going to heaven. You're going to spend eternity in a literal fire, burning. There's people under your feet right now, burning in the center of this earth. All right, number eight, respect to persons. James 2:9. But if you have respect of persons, ye commit sin. That, is that a definition or not? Sounds like a definition to me. All right, number nine. Hasteth, if you hasteth with your feet. Proverbs 19:2. Also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. What about despising your neighbor? Proverbs 24:21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. What about talking too much? Proverbs 10:19. In a multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. A lot of you folks need to take heed to that one. Number 12. Titus 3:10-11. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. A heretic is a sinner. 13. Provoking somebody to anger. Proverbs 20:2. The fear of a king is as a roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. And the last one is the worst one, besides the one about where you can't get saved, unbelief. But the last one is 1 Corinthians 8:12. This is for a Christian. But when you so sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. That's Bible definitions. All I did was just give you the verses and read it to you. Now, you decide. How many sins did it take for you to commit before you go die? You have to get saved again and again and again. Okay. Every one of you has committed some or all of these Bible definitions. Now let's go to the last way to lose your salvation. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Alright. Turn to 12:13 and Ephesians 4:4. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. In Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in the hope of your calling. Every person that saved, dead or alive, from the cross to the rapture, is in Christ. And Christ is in them, in the person of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you're members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones, according to Ephesians 5:30. Now, how are you going to take yourself out of the body of Christ? You didn't put yourself in. The Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ's body. So if you're saved, you're part of the body of Jesus Christ. So if you can lose your salvation, Jesus Christ's body would be deformed or mutilated or incomplete. And folks, that ain't going to happen. So you're as good as in heaven, as the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for helping us get through this message. Lord, I pray, Father, that you bless it. I pray, Father, again, that you would use it for your honor and glory somehow or another to help someone to edify Christians, to show Christians the error of this losing your salvation mess. And I pray, Father, that you show them, Lord, somehow or another, that they get saved eternally, and they need to serve thee and live for thee, Lord, in these last days. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.